Let's get ready to rumble!
With the Brooklyn Boys, so for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise. Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. You hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap race dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jet, Slow Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open in him with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace him with cheap imitations. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn ball. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl.
What the hell are you waiting for?
What you made me do, look what I made for you. Knew if I pay my dues, how will they pay you? When you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you drive a couple of hits, look how they wave to you. From R.C. to Madison Square, to the only thing that matters in just a matter of years. A safe will have it, J status appears, the B at an all-time high. Perfect time to say goodbye. When I come back like George, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you, it's to aim at you. Probably maim you, if I owe you, I'm blowing you to smithereens. Cap set to take one for your team, and I need you to remember one thing. I came, I saw, I conquered. From record sales, sold out concert. So motherfucker, if you want this encore, I need you to scream till your lungs are sore.
Ow! It's star time. This man is mean. He's killing all y'all dad turkeys. Y'all want more than Jigga Man. Well, if y'all want more than Jigga Man, then I need y'all to help me bring it back to the stage.
What's up, ladies and gents? We're back. Another Tuesday, beautiful Tuesday night of Left Hook Lounge Radio. Very long day for me. I'm going to try to give it all I got. Very long day, ladies and gents. Trust me, you have no idea. Not feeling great. Little bit of a cold. Got a sore throat. Body temperature's a little hot. But it's all good because we're going to bring the Iceman in. Corny, I know. I could have went a different direction with that, but it made sense. In the building with us tonight, my man Iceman John Scully, trainer, analyst, fight fan, you name it. He's all over the place. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I wanted to get him on this show because this week, as many of you guys know, last week we talked to a couple trainers, couple fighters, whatever. This week I wanted to take a dip down media row and talk to some of the writers, the analysts, et cetera. Good thing about my man, John Scully, is that he actually wears both hats. And that's why I thought he would be perfect to come to for this particular edition. Being an analyst, also spending many years training, once upon a time boxing, as you guys know, I don't think I could have tapped a better guy to sit down and talk some Mayweather-Pacquiao with us as we get ready for this epic clash in just a few weeks. As we look at the news, the media, the internet, all these different outlets, we see a lot of different subplots. And that was why I wanted to do this show, pretty much a 30-day countdown, because every day it's a new twist, a new turn. Freddie Roach is saying something new. Floyd Mayweather Sr. saying something new. Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless saying something new. Everybody has something to say. So I wanted to tab a few guys that I can talk to personally so I can see what they had to say. And that's where my man Scully's going to come with. He will be with us in the building in just a few minutes as we look at the evolution of this whole training and, you know, this session that they're going through in preparation for the fight. The most recent thing that we've seen in the news, I guess, is the recent comments of trainer Freddie Roach, who thought it was a bit comical to see Mayweather go to something different in this fight. He was basically made the commentary that, you know, Floyd is trained one way his whole life. Now you get into the fight of your life and you decide to go with a different plan. I guess his whole position was, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. I have to be honest, I actually subscribe to that theory. I think there's a little bit of validity to that, but flip side to that position is that you're dealing with a guy like Floyd Mayweather. Are we on air? Sorry, ladies and gents. Had a little issue there. I'm not sure what happened with my media, but nevertheless, when we look at what's going on with Floyd Mayweather, I'm sorry. Audio issues, guys.
It appears you're calling back into a live show. We are reconnecting you now.
I'm sorry, ladies and gents. We're having a few little issues there. I don't have no idea what the hell happened there. I'm not sure if you guys heard me. I dropped off of one mic, came in on the other. It is what it is. Technical glitch, but we're back. Nonetheless, my point was that Freddie Roach's statements relative to Floyd Mayweather, I think, was pretty interesting. I actually subscribe to that theory in the sense that basically you don't want to really tweak anything that you've had great success with. But then again, the point that I was raising before we had the little media, the technical glitch there, was that in the case of Floyd Mayweather, this is a guy who's always kept himself in tip-top shape. And here we're presented with a scenario where he's doing things that actually, I think, pretty much help him and maybe take him to a different level from a power standpoint, et cetera. So it'll be really interesting to see how all of this unfolds as we get closer to fight night. But rather than me going on and on, I'm going to go ahead out there and bring my man Ice in. I think he is in the building with us now. Definitely eager to get his opinion. I know you guys are as well. Let's go out to him. Ice Man, are you with us?
Yes. Yes, sir. I'm here.
What's up, my man? How's it going?
Everything's really good, man. How you doing?
Hey, I can't complain, man. Definitely good to go knowing that you're in the building with us, man. When I put the link out there earlier today, I got a lot of feedback. Email as well as in the thread. A lot of people want to know what you think, so I'm very happy that you're able to make this here and be with us. Thank you for coming on.
Oh man, I'm honored that you even have an interest in what I have to say, to be honest with you. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, it ain't me alone. Trust me, you're gonna find that out before we drop off air tonight. A lot of people want to hear your thoughts, so obviously I'm gonna take a few minutes, talk to you, ask a few questions. But if you have some time, we're going to jump out there and let some of the callers call in and get some questions off their chest to hear what Ice
Man
thinks.
Yeah,
cool?
whatever you need. I'm here. Whatever you need.
Okay, definitely. Let's go ahead and get right to it. One quick disclosure before I even start asking questions. I have no idea what's up with my audio, but if I drop off, it takes a second to get back in, so bear with me. Unfortunately, we're on internet radio, not AM, FM, but it's all good. We're going to do what we do.
Okay.
Let's jump to it, though, Iceman. Let's take it back. Let's go back to 2009, 2010, when this fight was initially being discussed. You know, we heard a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on, drug testing, money, this, that, lawsuits. With you being such an intricate role in the sport, going from that point to now, tell myself and those out there listening what it means to you as a fight enthusiast to see this fight actually come to fruition for the sport of boxing.
I mean, for me, it was a relief, and I'll tell you why. Because the sport as a whole, if the fight didn't come off for any reason, I don't care if it was a legitimate reason or whatever the case, if one of them got hit by a car, I mean, if the fight didn't happen, it would have been a tremendous black eye on our sport. People, because we don't rely on pay-per-view. We don't rely on the diehard fan. We rely on the people who don't really follow it, but they know. You know, most of, I would say at least half the people that watch Tyson only watch Tyson. Just like now, you have a whole slew of people in the last couple of years who watch Mayweather, and by association they watch Pacquiao, and that's it. They can't even tell you. They don't know who Mickey Bay is. They don't know who Andre Ward is. They don't know who anybody is, but they know Mayweather. Mayweather's reached that level. If this fight didn't happen, it would be a tremendous disappointment. It would be a black eye. It would be a huge what if. So I was just relieved that they finally, whatever they did, they got it made and, you know, set our sport back, you know, in the upper echelon of sports. You know, I think we dropped off a little bit there for a while. And but this fight is going to put the sport, whoever wins, regardless. I mean, it's going to set, you know, the world is going to be watching that night. It's going to be the Super Bowl of sports, of other sports. So, you know, that's my take on it. It had to happen, and I'm just glad it did, because I honestly thought for a couple of years there, I honestly thought it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of us were in that position. I definitely was. That was one of the few times, if not the only time, where I really felt embarrassed to have a role in the sport. It was starting to get really ugly, and it became everything but what we wanted it to be. But, I mean, you know, you think about it, it's almost, I won't say sheer genius, but, you know, I hope that it wasn't intentional. But, you know, you think about it. I remember when Floyd Mayweather, a couple years into the negotiations, 1 or 2 years in, was saying that he wanted $100 million to step into the ring and take this fight. And a lot of people, myself included, thought that that was far-fetched, not possible, et cetera. Well, you know, all of the delays, all the drama, all of this rhetoric we've seen over the last few years has put him in a situation where he's damn near doubling that in one night. What do you think about the fact that this sport, looked at as a dying sport in the eyes of some, is even able to command a fight where the fighters are making these type of purses? What do you think about that?
Well, that's the crazy thing. I mean, I've heard for years that boxing is dying. And I'll tell you, in a sense, and I want people to understand what I mean by this, in a sense it is. And I'll tell you why. Like, years ago, you know, I'm talking about the 80s, you know, I'm not talking about the 50s, I'm talking about the 80s. You know, in Atlantic City, and New York City, and in Philadelphia, but especially in Atlantic City, there was, people don't know, on the boardwalk, there was fights every week. You could go to Atlantic City any week of the year. Sometimes you catch two or three fights in a week at the Tropicana, at Trump Plaza. All those hotels, they had boxing all the time, all the big fights. Back then, 10-round fights were big. Now, guys only fight title fights, basically. You know what I mean? That's what it is. Back then, you had superstar top guys fighting 10-round fights in Atlantic City all the time. You, from this part of the country, when I knew when I turned pro, when we made it to Atlantic City, we made it. You know, my first time fighting in Atlantic City, I knew I was in the big time. You know, that's where it happened. That's dropped off. They don't even have fights in Atlantic City anymore. Very rarely. New York, the club scene in New York has dropped off tremendously. The amateur programs across the country have dropped off tremendously. The Ohio State Fair at one time was a phenomenal tournament with 600-700 guys entering. Now they get like 90 in the whole tournament, you know, every summer. So in a sense, it's dropped off. But, you know, now the fights are focused on the big names. And you know, with this money being made, it's just phenomenal. And I know guys back in the day, back in the 80s and the 90s, they're just looking at this and they're just all wishing they came up in this era. Because the money, you know, even guys, I mean, not to point any names, and I'm not being insulting, but I'm just saying there are guys now who are good fighters, but they're making $1, $2, $3 million a fight. When back in the 80s, for their level, they might be making $150,000 or $200,000. You know, it's different. The money is being distributed generously, and you know, that's a great thing for the fighters, but the only thing is, it's out of all the fighters in the world, only a small percentage are getting that money, you know. So it's really a rat race, you know, to get to that level. These guys, you got to be hungry now, because there's a lot of money being distributed but it's not among a large group of people. So there's a lot of incentive for guys. And now with the network boxing coming into play, like we used to have in the 80s with the Al Haymon series now, this is one of the best things to happen in a long time. So between the Mayweather fight and that, we're really looking up. I think in the next year you're going to see a lot of buzz. And I'll tell you this, and another thing. When Rocky came out back in the 70s, 1976, many fighters started boxing because of that movie. And Vinny Pazienza was one of them. Vinny Pazienza saw the movie on the weekend. That Monday, he joined the gym, and the rest is history. I believe for sure 20 years from now, you're going to ask a champion, when did you start boxing? And he said, 20 years ago, I watched Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, and I was hooked. You know, this fight is going to draw the same way a Rocky movie did, the same way a Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier fight did. So this is an important fight for the game going forward, not just for this one night. I mean, this is going to have ramifications for the rest of the time.
You know, that's a beautiful point, man. And it's little nuggets like that makes me happy that you came on with us, because honestly, that's not the kind of stuff that you're going to get everywhere. That's really good to hear. And I think about the influence you're referring to, even in my own household. You know, I've been a boxing nut. I've been actively covering the sport for 11 years now. But prior to that, I was a huge fan. My son, who's only 10 now, was about almost four or five, going on five, when the buzz started for this fight. But ever since he was knee-high to a duck, he sat on my lap when I'm watching boxing. Well, now he's older, and I look at him, and, you know, he can sit and appreciate a Danny Garcia, an Amir Khan, et cetera. But you're absolutely right. When you ask him about boxing, it's two names that light him up like a Christmas tree. It's Floyd Mayweather, it's Manny Pacquiao. You know, and right. I think about the influence of a lot of guys, younger guys that I run into in some of these gyms. And everything you're saying is totally true. You see it so much. But let's go back to the beginning of those negotiations. And we don't have to dig into this too much, but I am curious to get your thoughts on it. Obviously, the fight was very close to happening in the initial negotiation, but things were halted when Mayweather asked Manny Pacquiao to commit to the drug test. Some people supported the move, some people didn't. In the mind of Iceman Jones Scully, what were your thoughts when Pacquiao decided not to take the test, and how did you feel about that whole equation?
Well, you know, on the one hand, you know, I'm still – it's funny, like I'm still kind of, like, innocent in my mind. Like, I'll give you a quick story just for you to understand where my mind is at. When I was an amateur coming up, you know, we had a lot of fighters in Hartford. Hartford was really, really busy then. There was tons and tons and tons of pros. And there was a guy, he was on his way up in Hartford, and it wasn't Marlon Starling, just so if anybody's wondering. It wasn't Marlon Starling. But it was a guy, you know, he was getting a little bit of a name in our area. And I remember, you know, he was like an idol of mine, even though I never met him. You know, I really looked up to him. And I remember going to one of my friends told me, yeah, he's at a party I'm going to. You want to come? And I'm like, oh, man, let's go. I'll meet him, you know. And I got there, and I'll never forget this guy, undefeated at the time, and he's laid out on the couch, high out of his mind. And I'm just standing there looking at one of my heroes, and I'm looking at this guy just high out of his mind, and he's trying to talk to me about boxing. And I'm like, man, this guy, he can't even open his eyes. And that at that moment, it was an awakening to me. I'm like, man, people, I thought fighters never did things. I thought they were a Spartan lifestyle. And that was my first experience with this. But still, to this day, I like to believe that fighters are clean, you know, that they don't do steroids. They don't, you know, everything is on their own. But, you know, we're living in that world. We're living in that time. And the money that is generated by a little bit more success on their part, a little bit more power, a little more explosion. So when all that was going on, I was, you know, when anybody doesn't want to take a drug test, that's obviously a huge sign. There's something to that, you know what I mean? And I'm torn by it because I hate to think of these guys doing something, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, what do they say? You know, if it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And so I try not to even read about that stuff because it depresses me. And I don't even know what they're doing for this fight. I assume they're doing some kind of testing for the fight, correct?
Yeah, they actually are both doing USADA, Olympic-style testing throughout the duration of training and so forth for this fight. And that's, you know, it's really an interesting thing, man, because I've followed this closely. And, you know, some of the guys out there, ladies and gents, may not know, but prior to coming to the world of boxing, I spent 5 years doing work with the Miami Heat organization, you know, blogging, et cetera, locally with them. But even back then, you can find articles from me in those days where I championed drug testing, clean, you know, clean competition, et cetera. I've always had an issue with any type of unfair advantage. So this isn't something that started with me when it became a Mayweather-Pacquiao scenario. This is something I championed from day one. Well, and as it relates to this, it became an issue because Manny Pacquiao, to me, had a legacy that some, and I'm not saying it solely, but some could argue parallels that of a Muhammad Ali. He's a very, very transcendent spirit. And what he did, the way he changed the nation or gave a nation hope, I think, like, that's a story that you couldn't write a better script. So from my perspective, it really bothered me that he refused to test because it seemed like he gave critics an angle to question his legacy. And his legacy, in my mind, could never be the same because of his decision not to test. That takes me to my next question, though. You know, some people ask, or some fight fans have asked me directly, and I'm going to throw this one out to you. If he comes out in this fight knowing that he's taken full randomized blood-based Olympic-style testing for the first time in his career, if he comes out in this fight and he does not look like the Manny Pacquiao we know and love, keep in mind Mayweather has made everyone else look less than the best. So how do you perceive that? How do you think it's fair to perceive that? Should it be looked at as, hey, Mayweather just did what he does to another guy, just happened to be Pacquiao tonight? Or do you think there's grounds to legitimately question whether there was some type of negative activity in the past?
Nah, you know what? I have to give Mayweather his due. If you come out and you don't, it's just like with Roy Jones. If you come out and you don't look very good, you know, I tell people, don't worry about it. I mean, you know, like, it's like you see a guy when Roy Jones was really on top of his game and guys were getting annihilated, not just annihilated, but just totally beaten in every way by Roy. And people who didn't know boxing would tell me, oh, that dude sucks. And I go, listen, man, that dude's like the number four contender. That guy's really good. If you saw him against somebody else, you'd be impressed. He's just in with this meteor. And so I don't think Floyd's the guy that we could legitimately judge Manny on, because if he does look bad, it's not going to be a huge shock. And that actually brings me to a point that I actually made relatively recently, where this is obviously a super fight, and the money reflects that, and the anticipation reflects that. But there is one thing that's missing from this fight that was not missing from Duran and Leonard, from Leonard and Hearns. You know, there was the thing for me, even Hagler and Hearns, the thing that's missing for this is that in all the super fights that I've been a part of, that I've been around for, basically it was a situation, especially Leonard and Hearns one, where you're just going to be amazed that one of these guys is going to lose. You know what I mean? Like when Leonard and Hearns fought, I just remember thinking, like, I cannot believe one of these guys is going to lose tonight. You know, it's just crazy to me. I can't picture either one of them losing. And that's what makes part of the, you know, the aspect of a super fight. For this, as big an event, and I use the word event more than a fight, this isn't a big event, but if Mayweather whitewashes Manny, you know, 11 rounds to one, I'm not going to be terribly surprised at all. So that aspect of this fight is missing. You know, whether it's you know, my decision, or, you know, I don't expect Floyd to knock Manny out. And I also do think that Manny is more than capable of giving a great fight and creating problems, and we can talk about that aspect of it. But if it goes down that it's just another Floyd fight with Floyd solving the puzzle after a few rounds, I'm not going to be completely shocked. And, you know, I didn't feel that way with Leonard Hearns and Hagler and Hearns. I didn't feel that at all.
That's a beautiful point, man. That's actually a really, really interesting point. It takes me to another question. This one was posed to me by a fight fan as well. And it kind of stunned me when he asked, because I never thought about it that way. And I've asked every media member, trainer, and fighter that I've bought on so far in this countdown. I want to get your thought on it now. Which would be better for a Mayweather legacy in the long run? If he comes out and totally blunts what some would argue the best offensive attack in the last few decades in the sport. Which one is better? If Mayweather totally whitewashes him and renders Pacquiao totally helpless in there, or if he touches the deck and has to win a dog fight and actually proves that he can and gets the W in a dog fight mano a mano with Manny Pacquiao, which one of the two is better for his legacy in the long run?
You know, that's a very good question, and I think, you know, me, I always go by, in terms of, you know, great fighters, I'll give you an example, going back to Roy Jones. I used to ask the question, I say, is Roy Jones, you know, so great because people can't touch him and he doesn't have tough fights at all, or is he highly questioned because he's so elusive and people can't touch him? You know, which one is it? You know, if Mayweather, I don't know. Like, if Mayweather goes out there and washes this guy, just 12 rounds to nothing, 11-1, 10-2, just a typical Floyd fight, to me, I'll be like, that's an indication of his greatness. Like, he treated this guy like he treated everyone else. I would say that puts him miles above him and everybody else he's fought, and that represents greatness. But there's a lot of people out there who believe that you cannot be considered great. And I don't agree with this necessarily, but people say you cannot be considered great unless you hit the deck or overcome a bad cut or you get really wobbled really bad. And, you know, I see their point of view, but, you know, it's like say Roy Jones retired after the John Ruiz fight. You know,
yeah.
And he didn't have any really tough fights, you know, other than the first Montel fight where he had some difficulty. But, you know, he was beating these guys convincingly, easily. I don't see penalizing him because, like, in other words, you're penalizing him because these guys can't touch him. You know what I mean? Like, you're penalizing his legacy because he's so much better than these guys that they can't even be competitive with him. And that really doesn't make sense to me. You know, I think it's just a case of people not wanting to believe. Because believe me, and you know this, everyone knows this, if he runs through Manny, if he outboxes him, he's not going to get the credit he deserves from a lot of people. A lot of people are going to say, oh, what'd you expect? You know, Manny he lost to Bradley, got knocked out by Marquez. You know, it's all a sham, you know. And so Floyd is in a tough spot because if he does have a tough fight, then they're going to say, oh, see, I told you, you know, that guy's been knocked out already and beaten, and he still gave him a tough fight. So in the eyes of some people, you're not going to be able to satisfy them. If Floyd wins easy, they're going to say Manny wasn't that good anyway. If he has a tough fight, they're going to say he was lucky and that, you know, he shouldn't have had a tough fight. So if I'm him, I'm trying to win by shutout, trying to win the way that I always win, and let history treat me as it will, because you're not going to solve, you know, you're not going to make everybody happy. You know, you're not going to make everybody believe in you. You know, and that's unfortunate. That's just the way it is.
You know, that's definitely some good stuff right there. You know, In a minute, I want to talk X's and O's, and that's one of the great benefits to having you here as well. You can actually speak from a technical standpoint, and I want to get your thoughts on that. Before we go there, though, I have a couple quotes that I want to get your thoughts on. I'm kind of like really obsessed with with quotes. I don't really read any articles nowadays because there's a lot of hyperbole and craziness out there, but I scan articles literally for quotes just because I'm interested in what people have to say. These are some quotes that were interesting to me. I want to get your thoughts on them. Freddie Roach, this is a two-part right here. Freddie Roach stated that, and this is direct quote, "I'm having Manny Pacquiao work on not staying in a pocket too long and getting out before Floyd Mayweather hits back. When you hit Floyd and fight him, he will fight back." Now, in the past, we've heard Freddie Roach say that Floyd was afraid of contact, he runs a lot, whatever. The fact that Freddie Roach is publicly admitting at this stage that he knows Floyd will fight back, so he's trying to teach Manny Pacquiao not to stay in the pocket when really that's his strongest card to play, which is staying in the pocket and throwing his rapid fire. Do you think that this, and this is not a critical of Freddie Roach thing, I want to say that first, but just to get your insight as a trainer, do you think it's wise to train a guy who's been doing something forever to do something different on a fight like this where any little mistake, you know, you make a mistake and you pay for it against a guy like Mayweather? Do you think that's a good angle to take going into a fight of this magnitude, to try to rewire Manny, basically?
Well, I'm going to say this from my experience, because I used to do the same thing. You know, coming up, I'd always listen to everything the trainer said, and I would try to, you know, deduct everything based on that. And now as a trainer on a certain stage, you know, I've been at certain fights, and I've been a part of some situations where, you know, I was asked questions by international media, and you know, I knew my answers were going to be critiqued and looked at by everybody, including our opponent. And I'll say this. This is, if there's one thing I've learned over the years, it's this. I never listen to anything the fighters or the trainers say before the fight. I pay it no mind whatsoever in terms of strategy, in terms of their worries or their insults towards the other fighters, because after the fight, they always apologize. They always say they didn't mean it. And I know they don't mean it. You know, they're, it's just they know the opponent is going to read everything. You know, it's like I'll give you an example. You know, you get a guy, you know, if you're fighting Andre Ward, and I got a guy that's going to fight Andre. Well, if I want to box Andre, if that's my goal, then I'm going to tell every media member that we're going in and we're going to rough Andre up. We're going to headbutt him and we're going to elbow him and we're going to pull him in the inside just so that they can think about it, you know, hopefully think about it. So Freddie has become sort of a master at that. He's always doing this type of thing before fights, and he'll say stuff, and it gets people thinking. I've seen it, you know, almost every fight. So I honestly, at this point in my life, I don't even really pay much attention to it because I don't feel like deciphering which stuff is nonsense and which stuff is a lie and a deceitment. You know, I don't think that I'll say one thing. I don't think that we, as trainers, we're very calculated in what we say. And it's strategy. You know, it's like a game with Stratego. You know, you're just, you know, you're trying to put pieces somewhere and you're trying to make sure, you're trying to lure the guy in to think something. And, you know, if you want to box him, you tell him you're going to bang with him. You know, if you think he's real strong, you tell him he's been looking weak lately. You know, that type of thing. So I don't take too much stock in what trainers or especially the fighters, you know, what they say. Because it's been a million times where the guy will say, oh, I don't respect this guy. And actually Floyd's one of the biggest ones where he really downs his opponent before the fight. And then after the fight, he's probably crying in the ring, hugging him and telling him how much he respects them, you know. That just shows you that, you know, what kind of mental games are going on behind the scenes. So anytime a trainer says anything technical like that, I take it with a grain of salt because I know as a trainer, I try not to reveal anything. You know, and if I do say something, I'll tell you right now, you know, don't necessarily believe me because, you know, I might be saying it for a reason.
Okay, that's a fair play right there. Let's look at a quote from Floyd Mayweather. And this one I thought was pretty interesting because the day prior to him saying this, Freddie Roach said something that was polar opposite. Floyd Mayweather, this is a direct quote. He says, Pacquiao is a solid competitor, but he's very reckless, and he makes a lot of mistakes. What I do when I'm facing a guy, whatever he does good, I take that away from him, so he has to resort to doing something different. So basically, Mayweather's looking at it from the perspective that he is looking to take away the strengths of the opponent. Well, the day prior to that comment, Freddie Roach was quoted as saying that they've seen some weaknesses in Floyd, and they are going to be attacking weaknesses. This is some real technical hair-splitting type stuff, but I'm a nerd, I guess. This is the kind of stuff I live and die by. When you think about those two strategies from a trainer and a technical standpoint, do you think it's wiser to take away strengths or identify weaknesses and exploit those? I asked that question. I'll say this really quickly. I asked that question because I think in a fighter like Mayweather, who covers his tracks pretty good, I don't think it's generally wise to look for the few weaknesses he might show. I would try to take away his strengths, which is his right-hand lead, et cetera. But what do you think about that whole equation in terms of the Mayweather perspective and the Roach perspective?
You know, it's again, it's, you know, a lot of it is just the other camp thinking. Because, you know, if I say, I see, here's human nature. If I go to you and I say, man, you know, I've seen the weaknesses, you know, I'm gonna take advantage of them. Well, I know you're going to be trying to figure out what I'm thinking. Like, what weaknesses does he see? And any my hope is that any attention I can get for you, you know, to concentrate on what I'm saying is going to divert your attention away from preparing the way you normally prepare. Floyd, I don't think, falls for that. Floyd is a, you know, he's an unusual, and again, I put him on a Roy Jones situation where, and I'll say it like that. I'll give an example. Sugar Ray Leonard, I remember one time, I think it was the Hearns fight. One of the guys from Ray's camp had actually defected, and he went with Tommy, and they made a big thing about it, and they asked Ray about it. They said, you know, what do you think? You know, your man there, he's working with Tommy now. And Ray said, and I always remember this, he said, listen, that doesn't mean a thing. He goes, he could go in there, he could watch me spar every day, he can watch me do everything I do. He goes, it doesn't mean a thing. He goes, if you don't have the guy in there that can capitalize at the exact moment that I'm making the mistake he's going to think I make, then it's useless. You know, you have nothing. And here's the thing, just like with Roy Jones, just like with anybody, I could watch you and say, you could watch Roy Jones and go, man, in his prime, man, Roy Jones, he drops his left hand. He pulls out straight back out. He's not good on the ropes. He's this, he's that, he's that. It's like, okay, we got all the weaknesses listed. I got on my whole list, a laundry list of 20 things that Roy Jones does wrong. It's like, all right, now go out and take advantage of it. Let's see you do it. That's a whole different thing. So whatever weaknesses Floyd may have, I don't know if that means anything in terms of taking advantage of them. I mean, nobody. You've had some very, very, very good fighters. I mean, capable, world-class, elite-level fighters come up empty. Like, they've ran with them and they've done nothing. So I think a lot of it is just, again, just to get the guy thinking and to get the other camp thinking. They're hoping that there's some mental, if anything, it's mental weakness they're looking for. My thought is that Floyd doesn't even worry about it. I don't think he worries that much, and that may or may not be a good thing for him, but I don't think he's losing much sleep over it. So, you know, again, I think it's all just tactical and mental warfare that they're trying to do. And, you know, that's my take on it. Again, You can find all the weaknesses we have. I mean, everybody's been trying to find the weakness for 48 fights or whatever he's had, and they haven't found it yet. So, good luck. Good luck to both sides in finding and taking advantage of those weaknesses that they see.
Wow, that's great stuff right there, man. It really is. Let me go with one more quote, then we're going to talk some X's and O's. Evander Holyfield introduced a possibility that is scary to think about. As a fight enthusiast, and I'm sure you would echo those sentiments, so I want to get your thoughts on his words. Evander Holyfield said, I got two quotes from him. I want to make sure I'm quoting the right one. Basically, and this is just a paraphrase. I don't have the right one in front of me. I'm going to skip the one I have. But in a paraphrase, he was saying basically that in these type of fights, the sport of boxing has a way of doing what it feels is best pretty much for the sport, as opposed to what's right for the two fighters in a ring that night. Long story short, do you think that under any wild circumstances, there could be some type of odd fix or bizarre ending to encourage or promote a rematch so that the powers that be can celebrate two huge paydays like they're about to get? Do you think there's any possibility of us seeing any craziness like that for this particular fight?
Unfortunately, yes. Yes. I believe if it's a really close fight, if it's a fight where at the end of it everybody's like, man, I'm on the edge of my seat. I don't know who's going to get it. I don't know. I could certainly see a draw. I could certainly see Manny winning, a razor-thin decision. I could definitely see that because, the fact of the matter is it's business. Boxing is a business. Las Vegas, relies on these fights to keep them afloat, the fact of the matter is. And the money generated, I mean, think about them, and I hate to even put it in these terms and get these thoughts in people's heads, but it's a fact of life. You think about the money generated at the casino. You think about the clothing stores. You think about the people who sell the food, the vendors on the street. Everybody in the city of Las Vegas is going to make out like fat cats that whole week. It's going to be unbelievable. Those people are going to hate to see the fans leave. They're going to be begging them to stay because the money is going to be flowing all over that city. And anybody in their right mind would love to have that happen twice. I think, I hope that it's a very clear decision or a knockout because I don't want to have to go through that. I wouldn't want to go through that. I wouldn't want to go through a close controversial decision so they can make money and have the people complain. It would be, in my eyes, a black mark. If the right guy doesn't get the decision, I think it would do more harm than good for the long term of our sport.
Definitely agree with that, and that's something I'm very, very fearful of, listening to the way you articulated. But I was fearful before, but I'm definitely fearful now because you're right, man. When Mayweather, Pacquiao, particularly Mayweather fights, it's a totally different city. And, I mean, just when you think about the influx of tourists and money and anything.
Oh, and the hotels, did you hear? I mean, they said the night that the fight was announced, instantly they raised the rates for the rooms. Some hotels literally doubled it. I'm going to be out there. I'll be in Las Vegas, but I'm lucky because my friend lives there, so I'm going to be staying with him. Otherwise, I'd be paying, $300 a night for a room that costs $59.99 normally. So the money, I mean, the tips, the waitresses are going to be going insane for that whole week. It's going to be bananas. And, I tell you what, put it this way. Every waitress within 50 miles of Las Vegas is hoping for a draw, every guy that runs the gaming table, they're hoping for a draw. They're hoping for something. They want that rematch. And, I don't want to believe that will come into play, but, we live in the real world here, and it's possible.
One other reason I don't want anything to do with a rematch is, honestly, when you think about how difficult it was to make this fight, could you imagine these guys having to sit down and hash this out again with different leverage
right.
points? If Mayweather wins and is close, I think that gives you your best case scenario. If Pacquiao were to win, I mean, Mayweather would never go for any split less than a 50-50, and I don't even know what he would think in that case. Like, there's so many different variables. I think it would be a complete mess, and I don't think the two sides and the networks and the sponsors, I don't think they would all be able to come back to terms again. But I'm hoping, like,
right.
hell, we get something definitive the first time around. But let's go ahead and let's talk X's and O's or strategy, man. I'm going to put you in the corner of Manny Pacquiao right now. You have to prepare for a fighter as dynamic as Floyd Mayweather Jr. What strategy do you go into that training camp with for Manny Pacquiao?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing. One big mistake, and I've actually been working with some of my guys, because I'll tell you, now in the sport of boxing and the amateur level, you see more and more kids who 5 years ago never did this. Now you see all these kids trying to do the shoulder roll and they're laying on the ropes. I mean, I actually have one of my boxers who does it. And I'm telling them, listen, number one, you're an amateur, and number two, you're not Floyd Mayweather. Like, that works for Floyd. You're not Floyd. So you have more guys doing that. So I'm actually trying to show these guys how to combat that. Now, one thing that everybody does, and I'm talking, Canelo and all of them, Cotto, all these good fighters, sometimes boxing is not that hard. It's not that difficult. Sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's a simple case of physics, just angles and certain things like that that is common sense, that it's just, it is. It's not debatable. Now, you take Floyd with his shoulder roll and he gets really relaxed and he kind of sits, stands on his back foot. He leans back on his back foot and he's stuck there and he's just rolling and he's really good at it. He turns his right shoulder, so he can deflect shots with his right shoulder. And just simple physics tells me that if you stand right in front of him, you're able to be countered. He's going to counter you with the right hand. You're going to, once you become aggressive, he's already proven that he can do that to the best of them. Simple common sense would tell me that I need to move to my right, which is Floyd's left, and be outside his shoulder. Once you get in that spot, I don't care who you are, you're in a better position than Floyd is, period. Period. That's just simple, whatever it is, mathematics, whatever you want to call it, geography, whatever you want to call it. That's the spot you need to be in. And all these good and even great fighters never do it. And I believe it's because, like the one before them, they get so excited in there and they get so hyped up about having Floyd on the ropes and they just want to get him. They just want to get him so bad. And Floyd puts on that. He's so calm under the gun and he's able to count that. You need a guy, and I believe if anybody could do it, I believe Manny could do it, because he's a guy who punches on angles. He likes that, and Freddie's no dummy. Freddie knows exactly what I'm talking about. So rule number one, you'd want to get outside that foot and force him. You hear a trainer in the corner say, keep him turning. If you hear a guy on TV say, keep him turning, what that means is exactly what I'm saying. You get outside that shoulder, it forces the guy to actually lift his feet off the ground and turn and find out where you are. If you don't turn, you're basically a blind man. You're basically going to get annihilated, Floyd included. So, and people, for some crazy reason, they fight Floyd and they stay right in front of him exactly where he wants them to be. So rule number one, I would have Manny trying to punch from behind Floyd's shoulder to get that type of angle. Now, the good news for Manny is that's right up his alley. He's good at that. He's nimble on his feet when he wants to be. And I think that's his best chance for confusing Floyd. Floyd needs to sit there. Like, Floyd would love to just have you come straight to him so he can relax and just pick you to death, like pick you and just pick you and pick you and pick you, and it would be easy. I think a guy, like if you were going to say, all right, who could beat a Floyd Mayweather? Just not a name, but just tell me a style. I would say a guy that can move, a guy that can move and punch, a guy that can get angles, a guy that's explosive off of angles. And that's an intriguing thing about this fight, because that describes Manny to a T.
Yes. Yeah, that definitely does. Let me ask you this. With that strategy, and I think that was brilliant, by the way, very well put. With that strategy, keep in mind we're dealing with a guy, Mayweather, very fast, reflexes, cat-like reflexes, incredibly gifted in that area, but he also has a very healthy reach advantage. Does his height, reach, speed, and reflexes nullify that plan you stated at all? Or do you think consistency with that plan ultimately leads to some type of success?
Well, here's my thing. I think Floyd, as great as he is, one thing that could work against him is that he's become so accustomed to staying a little bit more stationary than he hasn't had to move much on some of these guys. He's been able to lure them in, like basically suck them into the mistakes. I don't think that that's going to happen here. I really don't. I think Freddie is a good strategist, and I think he's well aware of what I'm saying, and he's way ahead of me. He's going to be on that. So I think, if anything, I'll give an example. I still spar quite a bit in the gym. I have a lot of fighters, and I even go to other gyms, and I spar with different guys. And at my age, with my experience, I'm pretty relaxed. You know, that's kind of my thing. I'm very relaxed. And I notice, of all the guys that I've boxed in the last few years, the guys who give me the most trouble are the guys that are really energetic and stepping and moving, because, you know, at this stage of the game, you know, I'm just laid back, and I'm kind of picking my shots, and I'm looking for shots, and whenever I box a guy that's really fast and he's stepping on angles, you know, he kind of gets me out of my comfort zone, you know, where I can't be as relaxed as my experience would allow me to be. Movement and explosiveness kind of negates that experience. So for Floyd, I think Floyd is very accustomed lately to laying back and picking his shots. I think if Manny darts around and fights that energetic style, Floyd is going to be in a position that he hasn't been in years, and he's going to have to fight at a heavier pace than he's used to. And I believe in him. I believe in his conditioning, but it's going to be interesting to see it tested. I think Floyd is going to have to throw more punches than he's had to throw in any fight in the last couple of years. I don't think, especially in the beginning, I don't think he's going to be able to just pick and pick and pick. I don't think Manny's energy level is going to allow for him to just get picked. I think maybe later it may evolve into that. But for the first four or five, maybe six rounds, I think Floyd is going to have to step his game up more than he's had to in a long time.
Wow. You know what? What you're explaining gets to the heart of why I've said from day one that this is a 50-50 fight. It's been really hard for me to pin down a winner. And just out of respect for both guys and their body of work, it's hard for me to say, but that type of mentality and just the awareness of the points you made, I think solidify why I feel the way that I do. I don't think it's an easy night for either guy. One last thing I want to ask you before we switch the roles and I put you in Mayweather's corner. I want to ask you this. You mentioned Pacquiao's work rate and his ability to sustain, et cetera. One thing, I had one of a fellow fight fans shoot me some stats that I thought was pretty compelling. But one of the things I noticed was that although Manny Pacquiao has the reputation of you know, darting in and landing all those shots, et cetera, as a welterweight, over his last, I want to say, 4 to 6 fights or so, he's actually only averaging 59 punches a round, which really isn't that much, like we're accustomed to. Do you think he can sustain, considering that Mayweather is a guy that you rarely land a combination on once or twice in a fight, let alone multiple times, do you think that Pacquiao can sustain the type of work rate that it'll take to really get a convincing lead against Mayweather, considering his defense, reflexes, et cetera?
Right. Well, I think they're certainly going to train for that and plan for that. And, you know, my feeling, if I was training Manny, what I would focus on, and I've had to do it with certain fighters in the past, I would tell them, because the guy can get, it's frustrating. If you throw, you know, you may throw, as a fighter, you throw 5 or 6 punches at a guy. Now, the crowd sees 5 or 6 punches and they're impressed. You're in there. You know when they're not landing. So you're frustrated. People might not understand why you're frustrated looking at you, but you're saying to yourself, man, I'm not hitting this guy clean. Like, I'm just not feeling it. Tell Manny, throw a lot of punches, hit whatever you can hit, throw 10, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 get in. Because if you throw 2 or 3, forget it. You're not going to win. You're not going to win, and you're not going to land the punches you need to land on Floyd Mayweather. You know, unless you land one big shot and you really hurt him. But I don't anticipate that. I believe his reflexes are going to be really on point. His mentality is going to be really on point. So Manny is good when he lets his hands go, when he doesn't try to knock you out. If you notice, like especially like against Brandon Rios and a couple other guys, when he had him where he wanted him, and he was just letting his hands go, letting them flow. It's really pretty to watch. Like, he lets his hands go effortlessly 6, 7 at a time. And it'll look so good when in actuality he's only getting like 2 of the shots really through that land solid. But they look so good. And your opponent, you know, it's like to him, it's like he's just having a handful of rocks thrown at him. They're just coming from all angles. I don't think he can pick his shots with Floyd. I think he needs to be a volume puncher. Hard shots and soft shots all mixed together. Just keeping really busy and hit whatever. I always say, hit whatever you can hit. With a guy like Floyd, you can't. You know, you see guys hold the mitts and they go, all right, let's throw the jab, the right hand, the left hook, step over and throw the right hand. Well, on the mitts, you land every shot. Like people's connect percentage on the mitts is 99%. You always earn that. You know, if you miss the mitt, you know, it's very unusual. With Floyd, you're going to miss a lot. You're really going to miss a lot. You have to keep your pace up. You have to keep your mentality up. You have to just throw and hit what you can hit and hope that the punches that you don't land, hope that they were fast enough and thrown with enough oomph behind them that the judges will even give you credit for at least throwing some solid shots, whether they land or not.
Wow, that's excellent stuff right there. You know what? Let's switch gears. I'm gonna put you in Mayweather's corner. Before I do that, though, I just want to make a quick announcement. I'm looking at you guys out there in the queue. I see some of you already in. For those of you who want to speak to Iceman, we'll be on for another 30 minutes plus. But if you want to press 1 now, because after this question, I'm gonna start taking calls so that he can get with you, ladies and gents, and answer some of your questions. So. That being said, Iceman, let's jump in Floyd's corner this time. Going into the ring against a guy like Manny Pacquiao, you know, sometimes his aggression, his recklessness can lead to mistakes, especially when you have a sharp shooter like Floyd. What kind of strategy would you put in place for Floyd Mayweather going into a fight like this?
You know, to me as a trainer, now my here's the problem with a fight on this level. As a trainer, as a boxing person, you have to have a good fight. You know, this fight cannot be a dud. This is going to reflect on boxing as a whole. You're either going to gain new fans for the sport or you're going to turn them away. So a lot is riding on this. Now, by the same token, I'm not one to tell my fighter to alter himself to please anyone. You know, I've had fights where my guys fought on TV, and people have told me, look, you know, in a roundabout way, they're telling me, look, your guy needs to be more exciting than he normally is. Like, he's on TV. He's got to go for the knockout. And I'm like, listen, if I tell my fighter to do something unusual and commit himself when that's not his thing and he gets knocked out, guess what? I'm the worst trainer in the world. I will be remembered as an idiot because I can't worry about the pressure of TV and the fans. You know, I have to win the fight. That's goal number one. So with Floyd, I wouldn't necessarily do a whole bunch of things different. I would ultimately expect to have to be busier. That's rule number one. But you'd be busier based on Manny. You know, like letting Manny come and running him into some of your punches. And then, or when Manny stops punching, I'll give you a strategy. I remember Roy Jones told me one time when I was getting ready to fight Michael Nunn, Roy told me, he said, you should do like I did against Vinny Pazienza. He said, I knew Vinny was going to be aggressive and he's going to throw a lot of punches. So I let him work, I let him work, I let him work. And then as soon as he got done throwing, I started throwing. I covered up and then I started throwing. So that way, Vinny was either punching or defending. There was no rest. It was punching or defending. So he was under stress for 3 minutes of every round. And that's how he felt he ended up wearing Vinny down towards the end. So Manny, you know, Manny does a lot of, you know, all of a sudden he'll explode with 5, 6, 7 shots. And then generally his opponents, they spend at the same time Manny's regrouping, they're regrouping also from the flurry that they just caught or dodged or whatever they did with it. Floyd, I think, smartly would, when Manny's done with throwing those big-time flurries, he needs to cut down the break time. I tell all my fighters, like, when a guy throws 5, 6, 7, 8 shots, don't watch him. Don't look at him for 20 seconds as he regroups. You need to keep him thinking. You need to keep him working. So I think Floyd would be smart to make Manny work when Manny doesn't want to. When Manny obviously is trying to rest and regroup, Floyd needs to pick up the pace and take advantage of those moments so that he can hope to wear Manny down. Also, I think jabbing to the belly, which Floyd is obviously extremely good at, I think against the guy, like it works against anybody, really. But I think with Manny, jabbing to the belly and throwing right hands, maybe substituting the jab for the right hand to the belly, just dropping it down. Because with the southpaw, you have a good tunnel there. It's almost like a perfect shot, the right hand to the chest or the right hand to the belly. I think it would be smart for Floyd to keep punching up and down as opposed to just going for the head. Because, you know, a guy like Manny, he's good at making you miss and countering with the head shot. So I think you need to lower yourself and raise yourself up so that Manny doesn't know where you're going to be. He doesn't know if you're going to the head or the body. I think most guys with Manny, they try to go to his head, and they end up missing and getting countered. So I would say Floyd is probably going to concentrate on mixing his punches up, head and body. I think you'll see a lot of body work from him, maybe more than you used to.
Wow, that's some great stuff, man. Hell, I feel like I could get in there with Manny listening to some of that. That's some sound advice. Good stuff, man. I tell you what, let's go ahead and jump out to the phone lines. Guys, if anybody else wants to get in, calling in doesn't do it. Press 1. You got to press 1 to jump in the queue to actually talk live. I got a couple out there that's already in queue. I'm going to bring on and let you wrap with them right quick. All right, so let's go out to, looks like the 212 has been hanging the longest. We're going to go to the 212 live on Left Hook Lounge Radio. Iceman in the building. Talk to us.
How you doing, guys? Just have one question. Floyd Mayweather, he used to have in his way as the A-side fighter. Since Floyd didn't get his way 100% this time, such as Bob Arum has to not be involved, step aside, or Top Rank is not to be involved in the promotion, and the fight has to be produced by Only Show. Think it affects Floyd's training and his performance come fight night.
I mean, for me, I think at this point, I mean, it could be on the Disney Channel. I mean, every the same people are going to be watching it. And at the end of the day, I mean, it's all just show business in terms of what station it's on. You know, whatever those particular announcers might favor one way or the other, or the way the production goes. But it's all TV. It's all going to be the same fans. My guess is that, as a fighter, I don't think he's necessarily going to think too much about that. I think maybe in the beginning he might have been a little upset about it, but you know, he's got much bigger things to worry about than that. And you know, I think, like, I know, speaking from my own experience, being on TV, I don't even, at the time the fight was going on, I was so focused on the fight, like, you know, you forget, like, what station you're even on. You forget who's there ringside, who's the broadcasters. So I don't, in the grand scheme of things, if you could have on a scale of 1 to 100, how much it's going to affect the fight, you know, I think the number would be pretty low.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thank you for the call, my man. All right. Good stuff right there. Let's go back out. Looks like we got one hanging from the 559 live on Left Hook Lounge Radio. Iceman in the building.
Good evening, Mr. Wallace. Good evening, Iceman.
Hello.
What you got, my man?
Oh, first, I know it's a bit belated. Very good job at how you prepared Chad Dawson for the two Bernard Hopkins fights.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
And I was wondering, can you get a little, insight what you went through with Chad Dawson when you were preparing for those two fights?
For the Hopkins fights?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we actually, more than any other fight that we had, that I had with any fighter, I watched a lot of video on Bernard. I wasn't always a big video guy, but for that fight, I felt that I needed to. And it's funny, I've said before that it's funny because as a fan and just as a guy watching a fight, anytime I watched Bernard, you know, you see the genius, you see how good he is, and you see everything unfold, and I'm like, man, this guy is just especially at his age. But even if he was, however old he was, I mean, he was good. But when I started watching his fights, especially the Calzaghe fight, when I watched it with a different set of eyes, in terms of trying to prepare to how to fight him, it's amazing what you see. You see different things that you didn't really notice before. And, we were able to pick out two or three things that, I felt like Chad was going to be able to pull off because of it. And one thing, like I said, I watched the Calzaghe fight numerous times because I thought Calzaghe's strategy and his mindset for the fight was perfect. Perfect for Chad and perfect to combat Bernard's little things he does, little subtle things he did. So we worked on a lot of things that actually Joe Calzaghe was successful with. And, we worked on being able to box and punch because if you notice, we actually switched the game plan up. I don't remember the exact round, maybe the fifth round, sixth round. I thought we were winning and I thought we were doing well enough at that point, but I just saw that Bernard was kind of setting some traps and he was figuring us out a little bit and he was getting his range. So we kind of changed the game plan and, lucky enough, I had Chad in there who was able to physically actually change the game plan and go with it. And I think once we changed the game plan, starting around the seventh or eighth round, I think we kind of ran away with the fight after that point.
Yeah, that was a hell of a fight. Thinking about it, that was. I mean, honestly, and I'm going to throw this out there, just keeping it real. I didn't think that he would perform that way in that fight. You guys had an excellent strategy, and I thought that was very well done. I think again, just speaks to, it's a testament to your work and what you're able to do. But before I let you go, my man from the 559, I'm going to give you the opportunity for last word. Was it anything else you wanted to say to Ice before we jump on to the next call?
Two quick things. I was actually very excited to hear that you mentioned you really watched the Calzaghe-Hopkins fight because before that fight, I told a couple of my friends, this fight might not be visually exciting, but you're going to see two masters mentally of the sport and physically that could adjust their strategy pretty much round by round if they have to.
Right. Yeah, Calzaghe is a smart fighter. People may not realize that, but yeah, you're right. He a lot of times people watch a guy like him and they say, "Oh, he's just throwing punches." Calzaghe just throws a lot of punches, but it's obviously a lot more than that. He was very smart in the way that he approached Bernard. He wasn't reckless. He may have looked reckless, but he wasn't reckless. He was very smart. His timing was very good, and he timed his attacks very well. And that was actually something that I tried to instill in Chad, that there's a certain moment, and you have to look for the signs. There's a certain moment when you need to advance on Bernard. You can't do it just any time. Obviously it worked out very well. So I actually saw Joe in Las Vegas a couple months ago, and we hung out for a little while. I got to talk to him, and I actually told him that. I actually got a chance to tell him that I watched his fight, and I really took a lot of stuff out of it. So he was pleased to hear that.
Definitely good stuff. Hey, 559, thank you for the call, my man.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, now, let's go ahead and just realize how we're cutting it a little close. Let's jump out. Looks like 972 has been hanging for a minute. 972, live on Left Hook Lounge Radio. Iceman in the building.
What's up, Viv? What's up, Ice?
How you doing?
I'm all right. Hey, this my name is Damon Butler. Thanks for having me on.
Damon, what's
up? Oh man, hanging out in Dallas, Texas, man. Trying to get in. A group of us, through Facebook and different forums, we've been discussing this fight, way before it's been signed. And when it comes to Mayweather and Pacquiao, it's easy to, I'll say easier, to, and from a technical standpoint, to come up with how Mayweather beats Pacquiao. Technically, and I'm assuming it's due to Pacquiao's disadvantages, as in size, reach, speed, footwork, any of it. He's at a disadvantage when you look at the measurables. And with that being said, Ice, how do you see Manny Pacquiao closing the distance on Floyd Mayweather just in order to get his offense?
Right. Well, again, it's, and you make a good point, the physical, and that's part of the strategy. Like, you have to say, all right, if I'm fighting a guy who's got a longer reach, he knows how to use it, it comes down to the physics of it, the angles and the positioning. Positioning, I'll give you an example. One time, I remember Roy Jones used to, he used to sign his autographs, and he would write, it's all in the feet. And then he would sign his name. So I asked him, what do you mean by that? And he said, when he fights guys, he always looks at their feet. He sees what type of positioning they have. And if you notice, he wouldn't, really attack recklessly unless they were out of position. So that's why guys like Hopkins and Tony, they went the 12 rounds, and they didn't really get hurt visibly by Roy because Roy respected their game and their position. But those guys that got themselves out of position and got a little reckless, Roy was able to seize the moment and take advantage of it. So I think Manny cannot stay there in front of Floyd. And you don't need me to tell you that. I mean, I think anybody who watches boxing would figure that. So I think you need to try to take away Floyd's advantages by getting on the angles. Because you take any guy that boxes and ask him, who gives you the most trouble? And they're generally going to tell you people that have good legs, people that give you an angles and force you to deal with them. And I always tell my guys, force your opponent to deal with you. Don't just stand there and try to trade shots with him and be there, because I can close my eyes and hit something. I need to make my opponent work. And that, so far, the majority of guys, Floyd has, not that they haven't tried, but Floyd has positioned them and lulled them into a position where he's been able to just dictate who punches and when and where. So I think it's going to be a strategic battle in terms of the feet and the positioning. And I think at times it's not going to be an exciting fight necessarily because they're going to be trying to get the feet properly. So I would say against Floyd, I mean, everybody's tried to press him and be aggressive, and obviously it hasn't worked for anyone. So I think the angles and the stepping can take away some of those attributes that Floyd actually has.
Okay. So I listened to your comment earlier, and you were saying as far as Manny Pacquiao, he needs to stay outside of Floyd's lead shoulder. Is that correct?
Well,
did I pick up on that?
If you picture Floyd turning to his right, so he's deflecting your right hand, mm-hmm. with his shoulder. Now, Manny being a southpaw, it creates a little different here. But in other words, you don't want to have. If Floyd is turning his body to avoid your shot, he can come back with his right hand, and you're literally right. I call it the runway. You're right on the runway. He can't miss. You're there. You have to step over into a position where Floyd can't just shoulder roll you into something. Now, with Manny being a southpaw, so he's going to have to do it a little bit differently, but being outside that shoulder for anybody that gets out that outside that shoulder is going to force Floyd or anyone who uses his style to turn and look for them. And so far, as I said, Canelo and Cotto and all these good fighters, they've literally just stayed right in front of him and tried to press him and overpower him, it seems, and it doesn't work. I mean, it's proven. If there's one way not to beat Floyd, so far that's been proven not to work.
Oh, okay. And you just mentioned it. As far as Manny, he's a southpaw, we all know. What Floyd does more than, you know, you can't really stay in that shoulder roll stance against the southpaw, mainly because
right.
you're in line for his straight left. With that
right.
said, like as far as watching Guerrero or Ortiz, he tends to go to a higher guard, and he's never really square, but in that stance, he tends to occupy the lead hand, or in Manny's case, his right hand, and then catches him with the straight right anyway. Wherever he brings it from, whether he's low, high, he still catches him, mainly because he's not in that shoulder roll stance. With that
right.
being said, that even makes it harder for Manny, in my opinion, to come at a different angle because Floyd will just turn with him. Take a step back, turn
right.
with him. Whatever he has
well,
to do.
Well, the thing also, though, that I see is that Floyd, obviously, I mean, that's his money punch. I mean, he's proven to be able to hit all these people, good fighters, with it. But most of those guys, like I say, they're on a mission to get to him. And so they're all basically in the same spot. They're in front of him. He knows there's not much variable. They're basically in that runway of his. I think Freddie is going to have Manny darting different angles. He's going to have, you know, his legs are going to be in really good shape. He's going to be darting on angles. Floyd basically times you, and that's his whole thing. Floyd's offense, to me, the timing on his lead right hand is just awesome. You know, it's like one of the best punches probably ever in the history of boxing in terms of his ability to land it. But I do believe, and I'm, you know, I'm sure of it. I'm not saying he's not going to land it, but I'm saying Manny is going to create problems by moving, just little feints from side to side and trying to offset Floyd. And I mean, if you're going to win against Floyd Mayweather, you can't try and do what 38 other guys tried to do and got demolished trying to do. So you have to try and do something different. And I think being a little more nimble and bouncy on his feet, you know, he can't do worse. He can't do worse than the guys that have stayed there and gotten stuck with that lead right hand all night.
True indeed. Good stuff.
Wow.
I tend to think, and this is just my opinion, I want to know what you honestly think about this fight, and I know what Viv thinks. He's still holding it down at 50-50. I think it's a whitewash. I think the first three or four rounds are going to be typical Mayweather rounds. He may even give up. He usually, if he loses the first round, he usually comes back in the second. So he's never really that far behind ever on a scorecard. But by the third, fourth round, I think he'll have this thing figured out, and then he proceeds to walk Manny down and hurt him to the body. I think he stops him.
I mean, that's certainly possible. And you know what's funny about boxing? It's like, it's just kind of amusing to me. Like, we're all, you know, every radio station, every commentator, everybody's going to be doing what we're doing right now. They're going to be deducting the fight and figuring it out and every possible, you know, scenario, right? And then the fight might come, and it just might be like, Mayweather killed him. You know, Mayweather just, none of that stuff worked, and Mayweather figured him out after the three rounds. Like it's almost like, here I am. I've been in boxing 32 years, and I'm telling you all this stuff, and I'm sounding pretty good. You know, I got you thinking. You know, I got you thinking about this. And my father, who's not a boxing guy, but he watches fights, he might just say to you, Mayweather's going to kill him. You know, and that might be basically what happens. Like, Mayweather just outboxes him and he doesn't touch Mayweather, and all this philosophizing we're doing, you know, might not even really come to you know, fruition. You know, Mayweather, that's his MO. I do think he's going to have a little bit more timing-wise. I think if you factor in the stress level and the excitement and, you know, the desire maybe to please the crowd a little bit and all these different things, you know, it could take him a little bit longer because he's human, you know, just to settle down. I mean, this is going to be – the electricity in that building that night is going to be one of the top five ever. You know, you're talking Ollie Frazier 1 and those type of fights. But they're both going to be feeling the same thing pretty much. And Floyd has proven to be able to adjust under extreme circumstances. And yeah, I mean, if what you say happens, I won't be surprised at all. Like I, you know, I would agree with you there. I won't be sure surprised at all.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate you taking the call. That's pretty much all I've got. I mean, I got a lot more, but those other callers on the line.
Yeah, you did good. You did real good.
Yeah, definitely. Good talking to you, D. Take care out there in big Texas, man.
All right, I appreciate it, Viv. Y'all take care.
All right.
All right, my man. Peace. All right, good stuff coming to us from the 972 right there. We're going to jump out to, looks like the 775 is hanging right now. Let's go to the 77, where did he go? There he is. Let's go to the 775, live on Left Hook Lounge Radio, Iceman in the building.
What's up, Vito? It's Corey.
Hey, how's it going, my man?
Going all right. Kind of what I was going to get at was kind of covered in the last call, so it kind of took a little speed out of me. But I was going to ask one question that's kind of along those lines. Manny, when all the fights I've seen against certain types of fighters, and that is like fighters that always are attacking his lead hand, really slow him down, and he has a bad habit of trying to jump past it. What would you change up, or what would you add? Because you have to do something to kind of correct it to have him, when he's getting attacked by a lead hand where they're either probing him or, like, pinning his glove, how would you actually – what would you actually give him to alleviate that so that he would be able to generate offense?
For me, one aspect of boxing that I consider a lost art, and I've, you know, not – I mean – not to pat myself on the back, but I'm really big on it. Like, I try to bring it back to my fighters, is the art of feinting. You know, that's an old school, you know, Emil Griffith, you know, Hurricane Carter type of thing back in the 50s and the 60s. And Jersey Joe Walcott was a master at it, and Joe Louis. The feinting and getting the guys and getting them, you know, out of position. And you know, I think feinting for both guys is going to be big. I think Floyd actually goes for feints. I think I've seen guys feinting Floyd, you know, and I don't even know if they meant to do it, but they did it, and it worked. I've seen Floyd go right into position that they wanted, but just people haven't really had the wherewithal to take advantage of it. So I think that would be my main thing, would be a lot of feinting and keeping the guys, both guys should be feinting a lot and keeping them out of position. Because again, I think the strategies are going to be pretty clear. You know, I think everybody knows what hasn't worked yet, but what could work on Floyd and how they would need to approach him and how they would need to approach Manny. And I think both guys are probably going to be utilizing a lot of feints. That would be my answer. That would be probably the most effective strategy.
And then my last question, because I know it's a lot of people want to get on. As far as like the stuff that we've been hearing in the two camps, and Vito kind of touched on it a little bit. As far as the one issue that I do believe it is true, as far as like Pacquiao and the cramping, as far as physical conditioning, how would you go about, especially in a fight of this magnitude, how would you go about actually overcoming that problem?
And what did you say, the cramping?
Yeah, like, cause this has been going on since the third Marquez fight. We keep hearing about leg cramps. You would figure by now, especially being that he has physical trainers, that this problem should be solved. I actually think, like, with a guy that has the type of money to have a top-notch camp like that, that actually almost sounds, like, crazy to me. So, yeah,
you
were a trainer.
Think it would happen more than once, you know, with a guy like that. I know just my little bit of knowledge. I mean, I would assume fluid intake is going to be an issue. You know, I don't know if weight has been a problem. I know guys have suffered cramps when they had to lose that last minute weight. So I would think, you know, he's going to want to make the weight well in advance. And, you know, whatever the nutritionist has for him, you know, they do. Sometimes we do the Pedialyte. A lot of fighters rely on the Pedialyte, you know, the last day to get alleviate the cramps and things like that. But you know, that's whatever they come up with. I'm sure they're addressing it. I mean, this is like a $1 million company, and they they address all these issues. So I'm sure they got it covered. Whatever it is, I would assume so.
I would really hate to see this taint the fight where they say, well, I don't like, if he were to lose, I don't want to hear nothing about no leg cramps, like, affected or
right.
influenced the fight. I don't want to hear that.
Right, because you'd have to say to him, well, you know, unless he's just got something wrong with him that it's, you know, he's not able to cure it, you know? I mean, I'm a guy, like, you know, I've had a lot of crazy things happen to me in fights over the years, and stuff that you wouldn't, like, if I tell you, you'd say, oh, you're just making excuses, like, you're making that up, that wouldn't happen, but believe me, like, crazy stuff happens, and, you know, I don't necessarily doubt people, but, you know, if you've had cramps 3-4 fights in a row, and you haven't alleviated the problem, then, like I say, it better be something permanent, because if you didn't take the proper steps to fix that, then, you know, you can't really use it as an excuse. But, you know, if they did and they still got it, then he's obviously got some kind of issue. But hopefully neither guy will have, you know, like I say, I'm hoping for a controversy-free ending.
Same here.
Definitely.
Well, I'll let y'all chop up with some more calls, and I'm sure people want to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for calling in, Corey. Thank you. Yeah, we're actually down to the last 3 or 4 minutes. I do want to take one more question. Came to me via email. Hector, coming from Puerto Rico, definitely thank you on that one. Hector wanted to know basically what or how good do you think a Mayweather strategy would be to, I guess he's getting at pretty much standing in the face of Pacquiao and pretty much trying to smother his intake and forcing him to fight off that back foot. How good of a strategy do you think that is? And do you think it's maybe too dangerous to employ in a fight like this?
I mean, I don't think you want to necessarily be too stationary with Pacquiao, because one thing about Manny, that other guys, I'll tell you what a mistake a lot of guys make with Floyd is that they try to land perfect shots on him. Like, they want to hit him so cleanly that they really, and I, like I say, as a fighter, I used to do this a lot, and it was a downfall where I said, man, I got to hit this guy with the jab, the right hand, the left hook, the right hand, and I just, you know, if you can't get it, you don't really have a backup plan because you're so intent on hitting him. And I think Manny, one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to come out and really surprise Mayweather with his speed and his unorthodox release, and he's going to catch Floyd with some shots, or he's going to be really frustrated. Floyd's going to be like a ghost, and he's going to be making and miss those shots. But I wouldn't think that Floyd would want to stay in front of Manny. He's been able to do that with the different guys that have that kind of style that it works against. But I think if you try and just walk to Manny, it's going to be a mistake. I mean, he's going to be up for this fight. He's going to, you know, he's kind of an energetic guy to begin with, so you can imagine he's going to be bouncing all over the place for this fight. So I think Floyd, the big thing, one of the big factors of this fight is that Floyd, I think, is going to have to be a little more aggressive and a little more alert than he, you know, and not so calm than he's been in recent fights. I think he's going to have to step his game up a little bit more to really win this fight, or else he could find himself after 5 rounds. I mean, if he tries to lay in the pocket, I could see Manny's speed putting him out front, you know, in the early going.
Definitely. We're down to about 90 seconds. So real quick, Iceman, let everybody know where to find you for those who live up under a rock and don't know. Drop your tags, any upcoming projects, whatever. We're down to about 70 seconds. If you can let them know where to find you.
I have 2 Facebook pages, but one of them is filled up. So you can get me on John the Iceman Scully, and the Iceman is one word. I'm on Twitter, Iceman John Scully, Instagram, Iceman John Scully. My next thing, I actually have a TV show coming out, myself, Zab Judah, and Richard Steele, the referee. We're doing a show together in Las Vegas and Florida. It's called Behind the Belt. It's going to be a very, very interesting show. And I also am on the television show Knockout with Floyd Mayweather Sr. and Shane Mosley and Roy Jones. Will begin airing in May. So be on the lookout over this summer, and I'm on a couple shows, and I think you're going to really like them.
Okay, there you have it, ladies and gents. We're down to 10 seconds. We're going to fall off regular broadcast. Those of you in queue, there's one more call holding. I don't like leaving people hanging, so we'll take that one off the air. Those who are not coming with us, peace, God bless, one love. Iceman, before we let you run, we got one more from the 410. If you don't mind, let's get him in.
No problem.
And,
no problem at all.
Okay, let's take that 410. Just dropped in the last minute. We're going to go ahead and take you. Where is he? I guess I scared him off. He fell off. He was there. He fell off. So it's all good. But, hey, well, I guess on that note, we can shut it down. But before we do, I definitely want to thank you, Ice, for jumping in. Man, that was some deep stuff you dropped tonight, man.
That's cool, man. Let me ask you this now. How does it work? Are you archived? Like, people can listen to the broadcast, like tomorrow, if somebody wanted to listen to it or no?
Yeah, they can go on right after the show and listen to it. They can access from iTunes. If they go in. Ladies and gents, for those of you out there listening, future reference, just type in Left Hook Lounge Radio in your Google search bar. Once it takes you to the station, it'll show you archive of this show as well as all past shows. And, yeah, you can sit down and at work, in your car, wherever, listen to the whole thing, 2-3 hours, whatever we do on air. You get the full broadcast. Generally, iTunes is where a lot of people find it. But like I said, you can just Google Left Hook Lounge Radio. Once you pull up the actual station, you can get any of the past archives. So that's the way to do it.
All right, well, I'm going to spread it around, and you know how I do it on Facebook, so I'll let people know they can listen in.
Hey, definitely, man. Thank you again, and we'll be talking again before the actual fight. I'm going to be getting some last-minute predictions and so forth, so I'm going to have to pull you back in for that, but I definitely want to thank you for checking us out here, Iceman.
All right, my man, thank you, and call me anytime, all right?
Hey, no doubt, man. You be good now.
All right, buddy. Good night.
All right, now. Good night. All right, ladies and gents. Iceman is no longer in the building. I'm flying solo and actually about to shut it down. Not going to go 2 hours like we typically do, although I started to do that. But it's been a grind keeping up with these guys and trying to get hosts on every night and having a little bit of fun with it. But it's a lot going on behind the scenes. So I do want to thank you guys for the continued support. Tomorrow we'll be back. My man from Yahoo Sports, Kevin Ioli, will be in the building with us. Excuse me. He's another one who's been around the sport for quite some time. Great insight, great position. One of the guys that, and I've never told him this story, I guess I'll talk about it more tomorrow, but one of the guys who, when I started out 11 years ago, I would actually look and see how he handled certain elements of his business. And a consummate professional. You know, may not agree with every opinion he has, but it's always well studied, and definitely someone whose game I respect, and definitely wanted to bring him on to get his thoughts. So we'll be with him tomorrow night, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Hope that each of you are back in the building with us. On that note, I'm going to pull the curtains. Peace, God bless, one love, father of two, friend of all, lover of one, second to none, ladies and gents. I'm out. Good night.